welcome back to another episode of Mojo Share. I'm your host, Claire Alden West. So thanks for joining us again. Now, unfortunately, my voice is a bit worse for wear. I've had a viral infection that I caught in Spain, and this is probably the best it's sounded in the last 2.5 weeks. So it's a bit sore, a bit croaky, so I do apologise, but there's not a lot I can do about it. Now, today's episode is with a lady called Michelle Cook. When I recorded this, my voice was fine, so that's all good and well. And she's a lady that kind of felt a bit uncomfortable, really, with her clothes and how they fitted, feeling a bit low. She'd had her kids and felt that she just wanted to get back into doing some exercise. This is something that she used to love when she was at school, but hadn't really done a lot for a long, long time. And feeling uncomfortable in her clothes, she took herself to the local gym and decided to throw herself into swimming and some weight training. But unfortunately, in the area that we live in Mansfield, there's a lot of austerity, and the local council chose to basically close down our facility. So they closed the local swim baths, the local gym, and that was gone. Which is all good and well when you drive and you can get out and about in your car, which is fantastic, isn't it? But for those that don't drive, it's not great. It's not great. It doesn't allow people to feel independent. And she was a little bit lost, really, for quite a while, I think. But Michelle will tell you all about her experience of finding a gym that she was comfortable with and the challenges that came with that. And the name of Nikki, who is one of the local gym owners, and Nikki has put some challenges Michelle's way, and Michelle's just picked them up and said, yeah, I'll do it. Now, you may be sat there thinking maybe she's, I don't know, gone to a step class, or maybe she's done some weights at the gym, but no. The challenges that Michelle took on board were to do a Tough Mudder and also to do half an Ironman challenge. Now, for those that know nothing about either of those subjects, I would suggest that you just sit down and have a listen. If you're thinking of going out of your comfort zone in 2020, I would strongly suggest listen to this episode and afterwards just ask yourself, what excuse can you give not to do these challenges? Because at the start of it, Michelle wasn't extremely fit. She'd not been on a bike for quite a long time. She'd done some running, but she had never ever swam in a lake. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and I think you will find Michelle to be a lovely lady and a massive inspiration. And I hope after listening to this, you'll be thinking what you can do just to get out of your comfort zone. And if your clothes are feeling uncomfortable, if you're feeling a bit meh because it's winter and everybody's cold and it's all rubbish, just set your sights on a goal for next year. So I hope this inspires you. This is Michelle Cook. Today we have Michelle Cook, who's here to inspire everybody in this really crappy weather. I'm sat looking outside and it's pouring it down the rain, and bless her, Michelle came up and with a big coat on, no welly bobs, but you've just been for a run, actually, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That is really good in this weather. Hats off to you. So, from leaving school and working, at what point did you think, I'm kind of missing my sport?
I had my first child when I was 20, and that's then when I thought, hang on a minute, I need to become fit again.
Mm. So you didn't feel right in your clothes?
No, I didn't. No. And I didn't even start until my daughter started nursery.
Right.
Because, like you say, you don't, when you've got children, it's the last thing you do when they sort small babies. But when she started nursery, I thought, I don't know what to do with myself. And so I started swimming.
Oh, right, yeah.
While she was at nursery.
Yeah, just to fit it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just went from there on.
Right.
But then I had my second child. I did stop. Because then I had my second child, okay. Which then put me back off sports again, because he was a hard child.
Was he?
Yes. He'd only sleep for about 4 hours a night.
Oh, gosh. And so he was shattered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing you need when you're training is sleep. Decent sleep. Yeah.
It's hard when you don't get enough sleep.
And did you wait a while to get back into it again after that time?
About 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. It's like I was doing little bits, but not a massive amount. I was like going swimming every now and then, and then going into the gym. And it was one of the people at Meaden, the gym lady, said that she did a group called circuit training.
Okay.
And she said that she thought that I would be interested in it.
So is that the one where they get you doing like things for 30 seconds and you
different exercise. Yeah. Lots of different kinds. It's like you have loads of different stations. But
there's so much pressure anyway, isn't there, as a new mum. And when I was looking to do Mojo Share, one of the things that motivated me and pushed me to do it, even though I can't understand my own voice, was that everywhere you look, it's all picture perfect and everything on Facebook and even like my friends. And I'll hold my hand up, I've done it in the past. You try and take the best photo. It's no longer just like one photograph, is it? Then you get rid of it, don't you? And it's just, it's like, why are we doing this to ourselves? This intention of we need everything to look perfect.
I think the media doesn't help with that, though. No. When you see it in the newspapers and magazines where they all look perfect, but they've all been
touched up. And I think, in a way, it's kind of easier to see that now. Like, when I was at school, I didn't really get airbrushing, or when you saw a picture in a magazine or a catalogue, and that was, catalogue, I'm that age, isn't it? Then you just kind of think that's real. And I can remember going to college and my tutor saying, he was a bit crazy guy, it was saying, you know, those images are not real. I was like, well, it's in the magazine.
Yeah.
But it didn't really click.
You don't know, do you?
No. And I think people are coming round to the fact that these images aren't real. And if when you look at somebody's Facebook, everything is so perfect all the time, it's a lie.
Yeah, it's like when they use Snapchat to filter the pictures. Yeah.
But they look... I mean, I've not really got into that, but my stepdaughters, they have used that a bit. And I think, you know, like when all of your rosiness is taken away and all your features of your face, you almost look like an avatar, don't you? You look like a bit like a cartoon character. And then, I don't know.
When they make your eyes all sparkle.
Yeah, exactly. Or make like your eyes bigger and things. And it's just, we need to get back to like loving ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, and putting all this crap behind us and just being a bit real. And it's quite funny that, I guess, in 2019 and feminism's on the rise, that we've got all these filters. And it's like, you know, we're women, we're beautiful women, and we're strong women. Yeah. The emphasis should be on that, not on
the way you
filters.
Look.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I guess exercise is good in that it can help your confidence and it can help your confidence grow.
Yeah.
And it can give you a physique that you accept and that you can...
Yeah.
You're then able to love yourself again. But it's not just necessarily about looking super skinny or super fit. Yeah. It's, to me, exercise is something that I need to help me with my mental health.
Helps my mental health.
How have you found it with your mental health then?
If I don't do exercise, if, like, say I become ill or I injured my finger, a fractured knuckle.
Right.
So I've to start off with, he said no exercise, and I was like, oh no. I'm like, exercise is my life.
That too is like no chocolate, isn't it, to me?
I was like, no. I says, it's a broken knuckle. Why can't I go for a run? Yeah. And she said, I wasn't allowed to get the bandages wet. So she said, because of sweating. And I did, when it brought rock bottom, I was like, oh no. But then I did start changing it instead. I started doing different things, like doing your squatting instead and lunges, where you don't necessarily sweat. So I did find alternatives. But it was about a week before I did it. For a week, I was like, oh, knee.
So was it only a week that you stopped?
But, oh, like you say, I do exercise every single day.
You need to be a personal trainer, honest to God. If after a week it's killing you not to exercise, there's something in you that needs to come out, and people pay for that. Because, I mean, for goodness sake.
I've had someone else say that.
Yeah, you've definitely got the fitness bug to feel like that. So how did it affect your day without the exercise?
I feel sometimes I can't sleep because I haven't burnt the energy off.
Right.
Because I do seem to have a lot of energy
as
well. And then it helps you think, I think. Exercise helps you think more positive.
Yeah. But you got your mojo back. So with your child at age 3, that's when you got back into it. And has it just been consistent from that point?
Yeah. It has, yeah. I mean, it went a little bit slow when Meaden you know, when the meeting shut down.
Yeah, that closed down.
I didn't know what to do with myself, so I started doing HIIT exercises at home, and then bought myself a bar and a step so I could do body pump at home. Because I don't drive. So I thought, if I'm going to go to another gym, I've got to catch a bus to get there and then catch a bus to get home.
Yeah.
I thought it's just a lot of time in the day to be took out to do that.
A lot of effort. Yeah. And I've done that before because I didn't drive till I was 26. So it's pain, especially when it's rubbish weather. Yeah. It just puts you off.
So I thought, I'm going to try it at home.
Yeah.
So I did do it at home for, I think, nearly a year.
Okay.
And that's then when...
Dedication.
Oh, yeah. But I could feel myself slowly feeling like, oh, I'll do it in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll do it later. And then later comes and you think, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow maybe. And I walked with my breakfast club past the ND Fitness, and that's when I thought, I saw the sign saying spinning and circuit training, and I thought, oh, not seen that before. That looks a bit interesting. And I just went in. Introduced myself to Nikki, and then...
And then she didn't let you go.
No. went from there, really.
You're mine.
Yeah. And that's it. And then that's when she introduced me to her Fit Camp and Clubicize.
Okay. So for anybody listening that's not really understanding Fit Camp or what that involves, what kind of exercises? What do you do?
It's different things every week. One week we could do a boxing. One week could do circuit training. Another week kettlebells. Another one where it's HIIT exercise. Another one where it is just cardio. Another one where it's just weights. It literally is something different every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
So having gone from having a bit of a decline with meeting shut in, and which is just ridiculous. Mansfield Council, surely. Come on. But luckily, Nikki came along with her gym and kind of rescued you. And
she did,
pushed you. And she's such a great inspiration.
She is.
And she has said that she will come on my podcast.
Yes, she said today.
But
She said, I wish I could come with you tonight.
I know she's really busy. So this gave you a boost then. And apart from those classes, what else did Nikki get you doing? Or inspire you to do,
well,
should I say?
She did. Like you say, the spinning. Then, is it the X Runner? I've always wanted to do one. It's like a mud... It is a mud run.
Okay.
But they're called X Runners.
Right.
It's called extreme running.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I've always wanted to do one. Never been... Got any, people are always like, oh, I'll do one with you. But until it comes to the crunch of paying, they're all like, oh, no, I don't think I will.
Yeah.
But then Nikki was like, oh, I'm signed up for one. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And she told me, and I was like, well, let's do it.
Yeah.
So me and my husband, which my husband's not very sporty, but he was like, go on, I'll have a go with you.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
So we did, that was last year we did that.
2018,
yeah. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Was it?
Yeah, absolutely loved it.
So tell us all about it. So what did it involve?
Before you even get to the start line, you've got to climb over a wall.
Okay.
Straight wooden wall, which has got steps, if you know what I mean. It's got, like, wood that's risen out of it, like you can step on.
You,
two bits like that, and then
like
you climb...
Like a fire escape step thing, yeah.
So you climb over that, and then your starting line's there, and then you start, and then you've got... It really starts really nice and gentle, where you've just got bales of straw to climb over.
Aww.
Which you think, oh, I was struggling to climb over them because I'm small. I thought we're all right to you. And then you get to walls, wooden walls, which are inclined, but they're inclined towards you, not away from you.
Oh, my God.
So I was
that
struggling.
Krypton factor.
Yeah, I was like... So it turns out that my husband had to shove me up while Nikki was dragging me over to the other side. But then you've got embankments that you had to go down, which in the end you might as well go on your bum because it's that slippy and muddy, and then you have mud coming up to you, nearly to your knees.
So, you know, so that this wall then that she's dragging you up, how high is this wall?
It was taller than me, so I would say probably 6 foot.
And at the other side, you just like fall?
Well, you can slide down.
Oh, you can,
Obviously, because it's coming towards you.
Right.
As you climb down, you can...
Yeah. Did you feel very elegant being pulled up this wall? Did you feel strong?
Yeah. No, I could not do this wall. That's the only thing I struggle with is the upper strength. I was like, no, I can't do it. But you work as a team.
Yeah.
Everyone just worked it as a team. There was only one bit. It was a wall, not a wall, an embankment.
Right, let me start with it. I don't want to miss any part of it. So you've gone down this wall, you've slid down on your bum, and you're covered in mud. What's the next bit?
Well, then it's like you have to run. Well, try to run, because it's that muddy.
Why can't you just try? Because you can't move in your feet.
It's that muddy and slippy. I mean, I had got proper mud shoes on, so I didn't. Proper mud trainers. So I didn't slip as much, but, like, Nikki was sliding everywhere because she had just road trainers on. So she was sliding.
Do that.
And then it's like you say, you go down an embankment, everyone's like, because this is your first muddy bit.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to be careful, and it's like, there's no point because you're just going to slide anyway.
Yeah. Oh, bless you. So that sounds fantastic. My colleague, he did a mud runner. I don't know if it's muddy runner or mud runner.
Yeah, there is
And he broke. I spoke to him in the office a couple of weeks ago, and he broke, I don't know if it's two or three ribs, I said, front and back. And he was in bed, he had to hoist himself up with a rope for something like 6 months. And I think something's sticking into another organ, and it can't run anymore.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, and I think that was all, I think he landed funny. And
which you could do.
But rather than stopping, he saw the course through to the end.
Oh, bless him.
So that's dedication.
Yeah.
So how was your husband then with this?
He was all right.
Did he train for it then?
No.
No, he just
I mean, he comes running with me anyway.
Yeah.
He kept running with me, because he likes running.
Right.
So he does do 1-2 times a week running.
Okay.
But other than that, his job is an electrician, so his upper strength isn't that bad, you know, because he keep pulling cables and pulling himself up. Said he was quite surprised that how well he did.
Yeah. Well, that's really nice that you did it together. So who was that then? You, your husband and Nikki?
Yeah, that was it really.
Yeah. And I think she's looking at doing another one, isn't she, this year?
Next year.
So anybody listening that would like to do something like a muddy runner, obviously there's people all over that listen
tough
to this.
Tough mudders, I think.
Tough mudder. What kind of advice would you give to them to motivate them to do that? Because it sounds crazy to me.
Just do it. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
You don't realise how much fun it is. And if you can't do a certain obstacle, it doesn't matter.
No.
You just walk around it.
Right, okay.
And there's not that many that are there that you can't do.
No.
Not on that X-runner, they weren't. On the X-runner, I think there was probably an handful of things where I tried and then thought, I can't do it.
And then a little birdie tells me that you did something like a triathlon.
Yes, I did.
So, I don't really know what a triathlon is. I know a little bit, but not too much. So
it's a swim, then a bike, and then a run.
Okay.
All one after each other.
Straight after each other.
Yeah, literally.
And what made you decide to do that, Michelle?
Nikki had already put herself down to do an Ironman. She kept saying to me, you can come and do it, you come and do it. And I was like, no. And then she said she was going to do an half of one.
Right.
So it's a training.
Half triathlon.
Yeah.
Right.
Half of Ironman.
Oh, sorry, right, yeah.
And she put it all over Facebook that she hopes that her friend, and tagged me in it, will join her and help her get through this. And I was like, oh no.
Emotional blackmail.
And then, but I have always wanted to do a triathlon.
Yeah.
So I booked it and then thought, a week later, what have I done?
Oh my gosh. So for that training, what was you working towards? So how many miles did you have to swim?
We had to swim 1.2 mile swim.
Right.
56 mile bike ride and half a marathon at the end.
In one day?
Yeah, one after another.
Okay, so how did you train for this?
Well, I'd never even done half a marathon before. Once I signed up for it, and then that was all the panic. I've never done half a marathon. I haven't been on my bike for years. And running was all right. I was all right, if you know what I mean. And the swimming, I love swimming.
Yeah.
Didn't realise, though, that how much I've got out of shape from swimming, because I've not been a long time, because obviously, like you say, you can't really get anywhere because it closed down in Warsaw. So
yeah,
I'd not been for a long time. The reality, when I went to do a bike ride, now I only had a mountain bike, and I thought, oh, I can do it on a mountain bike.
Yeah.
We'll change the tyres, because I phoned a shop up and he's like, yeah, well, you can do that in a mountain bike, not saying how quick you can do it, and he said, and how hard it would.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I made him change all my mountain bike. We went on a bike ride. We did a 30, I think it was a 30 mile bike ride. I came back and I was, got home, I started crying. I went, I really? Can't do it. Oh. I was hurting so much and I was like, oh, I cannot do this. What have I said I'm going to do? And then Nikki then was starting, I said, I can't do it. I can't do it on that bike.
Mm.
She ended up asking a friend what kind of bike I would need and she borrowed me one.
Right.
Which I thought was so generous. Yeah, to say the woman didn't really, she knew me a little bit, but not massively. But she said, I've got a bike you could borrow.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And the difference of using a road bike to a mountain bike was massive. I started thinking positive then.
So was that pain-free then, going from a mountain bike to a road bike?
Not pain-free, but a lot less pain.
So just to unpick that a bit. So you'd gone out on the bike.
Yeah.
And you'd done 30 miles. How long had it taken you to cover that distance?
I think it was about 3 hours.
Gosh.
I know, I'd got a numb bum. My legs were starting to give in. I was like, I just want to go home.
So armed with a decent bike, what was the next thing that you tried in the challenge?
We kept going swimming in a swimming pool to start with, which... That was actually going all right until then. I thought, right, I now need to know what it's like to swim in a lake, because the race was swimming in a lake.
Oh, that would freak me out, you know, to be fair.
It did me honest. To start off with. I don't like not knowing what's underneath me.
No. So. Brilliant. And what was it like that first time that you...
I was terrified.
You took to it.
Absolutely terrified. For a start, trying to get in a wetsuit is interesting. We went to buy wetsuits, went to a proper triathlon shop, and they're like, oh, be careful, because you could pierce it with your fingernails. I was panicking trying to put this wetsuit on. I started sweating in the changing room, and I'm like, I can't get it on. Nikki's shouting, are you in it yet? And I'm like, leave me alone. I'm concentrating so I don't break this wetsuit.
So do you have to, like, put cream or talcum powder to get it on?
No, no. I did end up getting it on.
Right.
But
did you get it off?
Getting it off, actually, surprisingly, is really easy.
Oh, okay.
I always thought getting it off was going to be hard. I thought, this is going to be interesting, trying to get a wetsuit off before I jump on a bike. But no, they come off really easy.
So, in the water, you're petrified.
Yeah.
What was it like? Time. Just tell us what it was like.
It was cold, because it was, I think it was April when we first went. So the water was absolutely freezing. And like you said, I'd never swum in a lake or anything. No. I didn't know how to do it. To start off, they've got like two tracks as well. They've got a little one, which was 250 metres. And then they've got a bigger track, which was 750. I thought, I'm not going out there.
No.
So we stuck to the 250.
Very brave.
Very
brave.
But it was like trying to learn yourself to swim again. Because in a swimming pool, you're looking at the bottom of the swimming pool and you've got your lines to follow.
Lines, yeah.
But obviously, in a lake, you've not got that.
Rails.
You're swimming and you're like, where am I? I've gone off a track.
Yeah.
But then I signed up to, I saw something that was to do with people that's never swum in lakes before.
Right.
That's at that Pontefract. And I thought, oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So we then went there to see what it was like. And it was really, really informal, actually. It was like they got you in, they was explaining, asking people for a start who's ever been in a lake. And they made you feel really comfortable, actually.
Oh, lovely.
And then they taught you techniques of how to swim and look where you was going at the same time.
That's useful.
So it's like you have, you know, when you breathe in
to
the side, it's like instead of putting your head straight down, you're looking forward instead.
Okay, so you're not doing the normal in water in the mouth and...
Yeah, you're still doing all, but instead of doing that, it's like you do that so your eyes are above the water.
So just to explain what Michelle's doing, she's looking like a turtle at the moment.
It's hard to explain.
So you're looking like a turtle, trying your best.
Yeah.
And did you enjoy it at the end? Once you did, you feel like you achieved it? Yeah.
And they even taught you that when you initially get into the lake to put water into your wetsuit.
Why is that then? Why have you got to put water in?
They said initially it's cold, and because if you just go out and swim, it's going to come into your wetsuit anyway, which is then going to shock you while you're swimming.
Okay.
And that's what you don't want. But once you've got your water in your wetsuit, it creates a layer of water which then warms up because you have a body, which then keeps you warm. So it's quite clever, really.
Yeah, yeah. But you fell in love with it,
yeah,
by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I would go lake swimming any time rather than going in a pool.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you find it quite calming? Because I'd imagine it's quite, when you're there, it's quite quiet.
Yes, if there's not many, sometimes we would go and it would be busy and it's crazy. You got people bumping into you while they're swimming. But sometimes it is quiet. Right. My mind would not let me miss any training.
No.
So I've even went swimming in a storm on a lake while my husband's at the side. That
doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
My husband's on the side of the lake filming me saying, this woman is crazy.
With lightning, not a storm?
No, they weren't lightning.
Oh, sorry.
It was really windy and it was rainy, really bad. Yeah. But I thought, well, I'm going to get wet anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a bit of rain.
Yeah, what's a bit of wind?
I'm
a I mean, it's like all my theory was, I don't know what the race day is going to be like, so I've got to train in all of it.
Every weather, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you're going to be at an advantage, because some people may have just gone out in the nice weather.
Well, they said on the when we went for that lake guide,
yeah,
they said some people will turn up and never even swam in a lake before.
Really?
Yeah.
I think some people just freak out, you know.
Yeah.
Because obviously nobody's there, are there? There's no lifeguards looking.
Yes, you have. When you swim in the lake, you've got lifeguards and they're on canoes in the middle
right,
of the lake.
Okay, so, right.
And when on the race day, you've got canoes all the way up as
but
well.
But still, you'd want to practice.
My mind wouldn't. I'd panic thinking about it. Yeah.
So that's brilliant. So you've done your cycling, you've done your lake. So now the running.
Well, I first thought, I don't know how the transition from swimming to biking to running was panicking me.
Is that the format that they do it?
Yeah, you swim and then you go on your bike and then run.
Right.
It was panicking me. So I looked up sprint triathlons, which is like you're in a pool, I think it's 16 lengths in a pool. And then it was a 10-mile bike ride and then a 5K run.
Okay.
So I booked myself in for one of them.
Right.
I thought, my own mind, I've got to know what it's like to transition.
Yeah.
And that offered you a triathlon transitioning course.
Right.
Which I thought, yes.
That's really helpful. I'm taking this.
Cost £1, I think.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I thought. I thought that. But that was great because they took you to the swimming pool and said, showing you what door you was going to come out of, showing you where you was going to, because obviously come out the pool and you have to run then to your bike.
Right.
And at your bike, that's where you've got your helmet.
That's what you want to do.
You've got your helmet and your shoes and your clothes that you can, but you can never get be nude. You've always got to, so that's why you wear like tri suits.
Right. So now you've got your method.
Yep.
What was it like putting it into practice?
Well, like I say, I'd never even done half a marathon, so I had to figure that one out first as well.
So did you practice that then before?
Yeah. What I did is mapped a ride to like Sherwood Forest.
Yeah.
I did it on my bike first.
Right.
A 30-mile, because I like doing it in, I like training in wards rather than pavement.
Okay.
It's easier to run on, I think.
Yeah, nicer.
Yeah, you haven't got all the traffic. So we mapped it out and then me and my husband just went out and did it.
Mm.
Just went out and did half marathon. It was hard. I got to 10 miles and I'm like to my husband, I can't do it.
But you did.
Yeah. I did half marathon twice before the day.
Practicing, right.
Yeah.
So before the big day, was you doing exercise every day?
Yes, every day I would either be biking. I used to bike to swimming, and then swim and then bike home, because your exercises, it isn't just one day run, one day bike, one day swim. Some days you have to do two together. You have to do bike and swim, or swim and run and bike and run.
And in your training, obviously, you like pushing your body to the full capacity, aren't you? You're really trying your body, aren't you?
Yes.
And seeing how much you can endure with this fitness and training. So what conversations was your body having with you? Was it screaming to the shop?
I think it was. To start off with, it was like, what are you doing? Because it's like squeezing food in.
Yeah.
Could sometimes you be like, you'd have to eat while you was training. So while you was on a bike ride, you would be eating because of fitting it all in. Obviously, because of our work as well.
Yeah.
And like a family to run, it was juggling.
Juggling everything.
Yeah.
So did you feel that your body adapted to all the training?
Yeah. By the end of it, it was like a second nature to it.
Right.
It was like, oh, we're going out then.
And did you, like, develop muscles on muscles this time?
Yes, I think
goodness
so. And I got, and then your bum from your back starts getting used to it.
Yeah. Because I'd imagine that if you're doing that much work, that much training,
it's all on your legs, mainly.
And it's so tight and intense. So, you, that is just such an achievement. That is amazing. So, talk us through that day, that morning, that you got up to do this challenge.
I could not believe how I felt. I didn't feel nervous. No. I just couldn't wait to start.
Great.
I know. I was like, oh, my gosh. Even climbing in the lake, everyone's like, oh, this is freezing. And I'm like, it's not. I think it feels all right.
Yeah.
And then the whistle went and that was it. I was just gone.
It was focused, yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely loved the swim. I just took my time. It's that crowded. You feel like a salmon. You are literally...
Really?
That close to someone, that their nose is touching your nose when you come out to breathe.
Oh, God.
You're that close.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
goodness.
All I kept doing is, while I was swimming, is looking for spaces.
Yeah.
And then going into that space.
Yeah.
And then you've got to own that space, because people can swim over you and grab you. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like some people were saying that they've been swam over. That's was one of my fears.
Mm.
I didn't want anyone swimming over me.
No.
I was like, no. It was crazy,
the
swim. But when you get out, the outlaw themselves are fantastic. It's organised brilliantly.
Yeah.
And as you come in, because obviously you're laid down, really, while you're swimming. So when you come in to get up, it feels weird. You can feel all dizzy.
Yeah.
And but they had people in the water and all the way up the sides helping you. Or undoing your wetsuit for you and saying, are you all right? It was absolutely fantastic.
That's great. So after the swim?
Because you know you're going to be on your bike. You've got 56 miles, so you're going to be on your bike. I was on my bike for 3.5 hours. Because I've never done one, I didn't know fully what to do.
Mm.
But you could see people. It was great. The actual contestants that was doing it with you. You've got this person next to me on a bike. She was eating a banana and she's like, oh, would you like half?
Oh, that's lovely.
I know, because she was like, have you ever done one before? And you're like, no. She was like, oh, don't worry, you'll be fine. Do you want half of a banana? Make sure you eat when you're on your bike. And I thought, this is nice.
Yeah, it's really supportive.
Yeah. And then, obviously, you get changed, put your helmet on, bike shoes, which you are locked into your bike. That was another thing that terrified me when I first used bike shoes.
I didn't realise that. You had to be locked in.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be. They just say it's easier because you're not just pushing, you can pull as well.
Yeah.
So it makes it easier for you.
Now, what happens now? Because I'd have thought that you're going to have to dig deep to run.
Yes, massively.
Half a marathon.
My family was there. They was so supportive. My daughter was amazing. She kept going, that's my mum. And I was like, because she's never shown that before, if you know what I mean. But it was that is nice. She was, every time she saw me, that's my mum. Come on, mum.
Oh, that is lovely.
But like you say, you get off your bike, you then change your top. So I changed my top from my bike top, because I had long sleeves, you see, and it was May, so it started getting warm.
Mm.
So I put, because I was doing it for cancer research, I put my cancer research t-shirt on.
Okay.
And my running trainers, but I felt like I'd got no toes. My toes were numb from being on my bike.
Yeah.
So I'm like running away and everyone's clapping. And I'm, it goes to my husband, I can't feel my toes. And then Danny, who was there as well, shouts, you don't need them. Keep going.
In his toes. Yeah. In his toes.
But then, like you say, from going from a bike to running is the most weirdest sensation.
I can imagine.
Because obviously you're using different muscles.
Yeah.
And you sat when you're on your bike. It's really hard to explain how it feels. You don't feel like you're actually running. You feel like you're running slow.
Mm.
When in theory you're actually not. You're actually running faster than what you would normally do if you just ran.
Right.
Because you're that used to going that fast on your bike.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like you're going that fast. So in your head you've got to try and tell yourself to pace it.
Pace it,
yeah.
And did you, at any time on the run, did you hit a wall?
Yes.
Where, because I'm taking it all in. I'm taking the swimming in. I'm taking the biking in. And I'm thinking, Jesus, this must be painful.
Yes. It, like you say, I hit a little wall on the bike, not a massive one. I just thought, my back's starting to hurt.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to put my hands. I was like dropping to the bottom, lifting to the top. And then this one of the people, the marshal, was just like, come on, you've only got 7 miles. That did me. I thought, oh, I can do this. Only 7 miles, I've got this. But through the run was like 2 laps.
Mm.
It's like you had to run towards the bridge, turn around, come back, and then run around the lake.
Right.
And you had to do that twice.
Wow.
The first time, I was all right. I thought, I'm all right. But then I'm thinking, I'm dying for a wee. Because obviously it's like been so many hours.
Yeah.
It's about 4 hours, I think.
Should not go to the lake?
Yeah, I did before. But like you say, you're three and a half hours on my bike.
Yeah.
So, and then I thought, I've got to go. And I do have port loos all the way around for your runners. I ended up trying, but then you've got a tri-suit on, which is like wearing dungarees.
Yeah.
So you're then trying to get on change. But then I couldn't wee. I was like, oh my
God. Could you not?
You know, because of being on the bike
for
that long, I was like, come on. But obviously I eventually did, but then you're running and I thought, I can't do it.
Because you'd stuck, because you had that break.
Yeah, I think so. And then I just thought, I thought in my head, I had the strategy of run to a water station, because there were so many water stations. Get a drink, walk it for a bit, then run to the next water station. It didn't happen like that, though.
No. Oh, gosh.
I would get halfway to a water station and think, oh, I can't do it.
Really?
But then you'd got other people. Come on, Michelle. You had your name on your number as well. And this one woman where I was running, I thought, I can't do it. She came behind me, she's going, come on. She said, you helped me on my bike. And I thought, because I just kept talking to people. And because you was all right to be beside people, so I'd be beside and going, oh, you ain't got long now, and then talk for a bit.
She doesn't know the impact that you're having on others.
So she went, come on, you can do it with me for a bit. She says, I'm running for 1 minute, walking for 1 minute. So Adela did it with her for a bit, and then she went, oh, you carry on, I need to walk.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'll carry on. But then I started getting cramp in my calves, and I thought, oh, no. This is the last thing I need.
Yeah.
But then this old man, he was like, come on, cancer research woman. He says, I reckon I've been following you this whole half a marathon. And then when I told him about cramp, he told me, because your drinks were like energy drink,
right,
water or flat Coca-Cola.
Right.
And he said, drink some flat Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And I thought, that's a bit crazy, because I've been having a little bit of the energy drink and a little bit of the water, but when I did the Coke, it did actually stop.
That worked.
I had about 2 or 3 of the Cokes, and then I seemed all right.
And how old was this wise fella?
He's got to have been late 60s.
Yeah.
He's got to have. I know, I thought that is just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, because he was like, we kept catching up. I kept catching up and overtaking him, and then I'd have to stop and think, I've got to walk. Yeah. And then he'd do the same. He'd take over me, and then he'd walk.
Right.
So it was like we were playing cat and mouse, really.
So at this point, had you got...
I think another 6 miles still left.
6 miles. Yeah. And this is where you're cramping up.
Yeah.
And you're really feeling it. So yeah. Talk us through that.
And I'm
then.
Thinking, I'm finishing it. I've raised a lot of money here and I've got to finish
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, yeah. Got to do it.
Yeah,
got
that's all it. I kept thinking. I've raised this money. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But you have set times to finish each. Like, you have a set time you've got to do your swimming and a set time to do the biking. But it's like you've got a set time to do it all.
Okay.
But like you say, once you get to your run, if you're at your run at a certain time, then you're all right. Because my aim was to get to do... I've got to get off my bike for 12. I got off my bike by 11:15, so I was like, I'm all right, I've beat it by 45 minutes.
Wow.
But like you say, then I was struggling a little bit. But then I got... You hit the lake... And you can see the finishing line at the other end.
Yeah.
That's then when I thought, I've got this.
Yeah.
Come on, you've got this.
You knew what was in store and you wanted that end.
I was like, come on, it's only right corner. Yeah. A big corner, but...
So imagine if you'd got that far and then just...
Stopped. Well,
stopped.
So like you say, if you got to a certain point, they could then, on the run as well, if I can't remember what time it were, but I think it was 2:45... If you haven't passed a certain point by that time on your run, they have to say, sorry, you can't finish it.
My goodness, pressure.
I would have been gutted.
Yeah.
Because like you say, you put all that training in as well. And it would have been, so my mind was like, I knew I was going to be all right on the swim. I knew I was going to be all right on the bike. I knew running I was going to struggle.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do the swim and the bike as fast as I could. So
right.
I had longer to do the run.
I see, right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. But like when we got near the end, the old man was like, I wonder if I'm going to beat you. I was like, really? And this was like literally on the last home stretch.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then this other man came up to me. He was quite a biggish man as well. It was really big. And he put his arm around me and he's like, we've got this, love.
Aww.
And I thought, this is really nice. The support
that
actual other people are giving you is immense. The old man did beat me in the end. But
anybody that's listened to this that's in the 60s, we're not saying that in the 60s is old.
But anyone to be offended, because I took my hat off to him, bless him,
definitely did. That is just a wicked achievement. So what was it like running through that finish line?
It was amazing. Nikki had already finished. She come and met me.
Right.
She come up and she actually encouraged me to run the rest of all of it. She was like, come on, do it. Because she was talking to me as well. It got me through that last bit. And then you hit, like, it's a red carpet.
Okay.
That you end up running across.
Absolutely.
I know. And it's like everyone cheering for you and screaming. People you don't even know. Yeah. People that was already had done the race with you was like, come on, Michelle, because they'd
brilliant.
Already been seeing you and talking to you.
Yeah.
They was even shouting you over the finish line.
That's so encouraging. It is like a family environment, isn't it? When you know, these run clubs.
It's like they say, it's not a race. It's not who comes first.
No.
It is literally you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
And for your own
race,
time.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was, and then like say, going across the finishing line, I was like, oh my God, I have actually just done that.
Wow.
In 7 hours. I think it was 7 hours and 16 minutes.
My goodness. I mean, hats off to you. That is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And have you signed up to your next one?
Not yet.
I'm joking.
I am going to do another one. Because when I finished, my husband was like, I am so proud of you.
Aww.
And my daughter did. My daughter says, Mum, you've made me feel like I can do one.
Oh,
she
wow.
doesn't even like exercise.
No. So you're inspiring all your family as well.
Yeah,
so that's amazing.
My husband can't swim.
No.
So he's actually asked me. To teach him to swim.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because he wants to do one. He says he wants to do one before he's 50.
Right.
So all the way through next year, he said he's not going to do one next year. He wants to train on his swimming. He says, but the year after, he says, well, can we do one? And I says,
so that can be your personal training experience, can't
you?
Husband, And then after that, I want to see you doing PT work.
I could train people to do triathlon.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. So anybody listening that would love to do this, anybody listening that would like a real challenge and is really inspired by Michelle, what three pieces of advice can you offer to anybody inspired by this?
Well, I would say just book it. Don't think about it, because if you think about it, you will put yourself off.
Okay.
I think you really would. If you just book it, and then you've got to do it.
Okay. That's the first one.
Yeah, that's the first one. Second one is stick to the training. If you're going to do it, stick to the training.
Okay.
Do not use a mountain bike.
So that's your second one. And what about your third?
You're not doing it to beat anyone. You're doing it for you, to prove that you can do it. Doesn't matter what time you do it in, even if you're the last person over that line, at least you've done it.
Great advice there, Michelle. And I mean, how can you not be inspired by this? Because at the moment, it's so cold outside, and I think it's so easy just to wrap up and stay indoors, but you've demonstrated the health benefits of exercise and how this can lift you up and out of a bad mood. So thank you for joining us today. I've got so many questions. I could literally go on all night. But I mean, I'm almost intrigued to do it myself. But I just think it's such a massive, massive thing. And
that's what I mean. If you think too much about
you'll overthink it and overtalk it.
Overthink it once you've booked it still. But
you've just got to bite the bullet and do it. And you did an amazing job. So well done, Michelle, and thanks for joining us today. Thank you. Take care.
Such an inspiration. Michelle Cook, what can I say? It's hard to compete with anything that Michelle has done. It really, really is. Because it's not as if she started these challenges being extremely super fit. With the Off Ironman challenge, she'd not been on a bike for a long time, and she'd definitely not swam in a lake, but she did it. She just made that decision and she did it. So I think we can all learn a lot from that. And I hope this has got people listening and thinking what they can do. Maybe in 2020, next year, maybe put down for a tough mudder or a challenge that is out of their comfort zone. And I think that's the thing as well. If you set yourself a challenge that is something that you've done before, something that you kind of know you can do, I think anything that pushes yourself out of your comfort zone is a great thing, because once you've done it, it just builds your confidence, and I think it's a great mental boost. And I would definitely recommend anybody taking up a challenge similar to what Michelle has done, and I'm so proud of her. She has just done so much just to push through those barriers. And you know, she felt pain at times during training, but she still did it. She just carried on, she continued, and she saw it to the end, and she managed to complete it all, and I'm so proud of her. Thank you for joining me again for another episode of Mojo Share, and I've got so much goodness to come to motivate you to take in action. There's an interview with a lady that's lost 14 more stone that I've yet to edit and to publish, and we're going over the water to America, and there's some more episodes to come that I really think you'll find motivating. So thanks again. If you'd like to DM me on my Instagram account on mojo.share, please do. If you've got any suggestions or any guests that you think would be really fitting for this podcast, I would love to hear from you. So thanks for joining me, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.